Thank you all for joining us this morning and for joining us in worship. I thank you for the worship team just for leading us in that time of worship. I was really touched and blessed this morning. Just as we're continuing in our kingdom series, talking about Jesus as King and what it means to live like Jesus as King now here on earth. And just the song, Knowing You, Jesus, just jumped out to me today. Like, if we know Jesus, if we know him more, we keep seeking after him, it's going to play out in our lives of how we live out the kingdom here on earth. It's all about knowing Jesus. And so today we're going to look at Jesus as Jesus in command of the atmosphere and get to know a little bit more about the power that our Lord has, that he has command even over the atmosphere. If you would stand with me, let's open with a time of prayer. And then we'll dive into God's word. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are here this morning with us. We thank you that when you ascended to the right hand of your Father, that you did not leave us orphans. And we praise you for that. Lord, because we long for you, whether we know it or not, we long to know you. And Lord, I just thank you for your spirit and for your word so that we can know you more. Lord, we trust you, but help us to trust you more. And Lord, I just pray that as we dive into your word this morning, that it'll be not I, but you through me, Jesus, speaking this morning, that your name be glorified. And as we leave from here, that we will remember what you spoke to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, yeah, as we're continuing our kingdom series and getting to know more about Jesus and his character, today we're going to look at what it means to follow Jesus into a storm. In Luke 8, 22 through 25, Jesus asked his disciples to go across the lake, and as we see, a storm happens. And many of us, we face storms in our lives, don't we? Whether it's financial struggles, or it's the loss of a loved one, or it's the just loss of hopes and dreams, things that we've kind of built our future hopes around, they're suddenly falling apart. And we face these storms, and these storms can often bring up questions like, God, why would you lead me into this storm? Why am I going through these hard things? Or, yeah, why am I going through this? And if God's word says that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him, then why am I going through this? And they can bring up these questions. It's brought up that question for me often when we go through hard times. Or sometimes even we'll see a storm coming. We'll see something that we know is going to be hard. And we try to steer away from it. We try to avoid the storm. We look at the weather app, so to speak, and see a storm coming. We try to avoid it and steer away from it. We're faced with storms, whether we like it or not. And so as we're faced with storms, why does God sometimes lead us into storms? And what does he want us to learn from them? So let's seek some answers there in God's word. And Luke 8, verse 22 says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. So Luke here starts to tell this story by just Jesus' simple command to his disciples to set the direction for the next day of ministry. So Jesus had been preaching as we've been going through the last couple weeks of Jesus' sermons there, just talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, what it looks like. He was preaching there and had a long day of ministry, just of pouring out the truth to people, touching people with the truth and with healing. And so the disciples, as you can imagine, were probably excited. Like, look at this. Like, God is bringing these stiff-necked people to come to hear his voice. Jesus is calling them to come and hear the truth about the kingdom. And they were excited. They saw what Jesus was doing, and they were excited for more of that. So when Jesus commanded them to go across the lake, they trusted his authority, and they trusted him with how they should spend their days. So they set about what they knew how to do. Many of them had been fishermen, and so had experience with boats, and so they got the boat ready and set out, excited for this next adventure with Jesus. Like, they were excited for what they'd seen that day, and they were ready to see more of it, but maybe not so ready for what was going to happen on the journey. So in the next verse, Luke says, as they sailed, he, meaning Jesus, fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. So everything was underway. The disciples, again, using their skills and talents to follow the command that Jesus had given them for that next great adventure, threw everything they had into it. On the boat, they were going across the lake, and then everything falls apart. Suddenly, everything falls apart, and Jesus is down sleeping, because remember, he was fully man, too, and that's something I always try to wrap my mind about, around how Jesus was fully God and fully man, and part of it was he got tired, right? He had an earthly body, and so he was sleeping while everything is falling apart, or, as we'll see, maybe falling into place to teach one of the greatest lessons about who our God is and about the power that he has. So the winds, this squall came down. Just all of a sudden the winds come on this this lake, and all of a sudden it's stormy. There's waves everywhere. There's just turbulent water. I've spent very little time on the water, but when even in fair weather, like at the ocean, when the waves are coming, sometimes it can be a little scary when you're being tossed around. But imagine being on a boat, feeling completely helpless in this storm all of a sudden. And these disciples were, this wasn't their first storm, I'm sure, on a boat. They were used to that. And so they threw everything they had at it to try to right the ship. But nothing was working. They had this great adventure Jesus had for them, this plan God had for their life to go across the lake to do more ministry the next day. And they just couldn't get there. They were faced with this storm, and they threw everything they had to no avail. And they finally realized it was lost and they couldn't save it. And we face this in our lives, I think. Like, we set off after Jesus saves us, we submit to Jesus, we realize him as Lord, and we know that Jesus can do great things in people's lives because he saves us, he's changed our hearts, he's done an about face in our lives so we're not following ourselves and our own desires, but we're following after him. We know he can do that, and then as we start to know more about Jesus, we start to seek, okay, how can I follow Jesus on earth? And we get this great mission or passion that God gives us for him and for his kingdom, and we're excited and we set off on it. Maybe it's at school. Like, when we're at school, you're like, you know what? I know what Jesus did for me in my life, and so I'm going to be open about it. When I'm at school, I'm going to pray over lunch so that people know that I love God, and I'm submitting to him, or I'm going to reach out to people who are being bullied. I'm going to stand up for them and say, look, that's not right, not the way people should be treated. I'm going to do these things, and it's a great dream. It's a great mission for showing the love of Jesus practically right where you're at. Or maybe it's that same dream at work. It's like, I'm going to show the love of Jesus where I work. I'm going to show the love of Jesus by going out of my way to be kind to someone when it's hard to, when they treat me wrong. But I'm going to go the extra mile because I know Jesus did that for me. When I was not loving towards him, he sent his son for me. And that's a great and awesome mission and adventure from Jesus, and it's hard. Or to me, maybe one of the greatest missions you can think of is God wants me to make him famous in my home. So I'm going to read the Bible to my kids. We're going to pray at every meal. We're going to whatever it is just to make God famous in my home. And just a shout out to all you stay-at-home moms. That is not a lesser calling. There are many people today that don't have that. They don't have that mom to speak truth and to make God famous in their lives, to show them what God's done in their lives, to give them that hope and that passion. So that's a great and fantastic dream and mission and passion for Jesus as he works in our heart. And then the storm comes, right? We have this great dream, and it feels like if we could picture that dream of sharing Jesus in whatever way, and we picture it on the other side of this lake, and then the storm comes, and we can't get there. It's hard. It's like wrenching at our hearts because we have this burning passion in us, but we can't get there. We just don't have what it takes to get there. Maybe it's sickness, so you can barely function, just barely wake up and get out of bed, let alone wrangle wild toddlers to get them to listen to the Bible for a couple minutes. Maybe it's sickness keeping us down. And we start to ask, did God ask the wrong person? Like, he knew this sickness would come, and I can't do it. Maybe God asked the wrong person. Or maybe it's anxiousness that hits you so overwhelmingly, you're in a panic. You can barely think straight, let alone share Jesus with those around you in creative ways. Or maybe it's as you start to share the love of Jesus, people start to mock and to push back, and it really makes you question, did I hear God right? Is he here with me? Because I can't change people's hearts, and if God's not with me, it doesn't matter. So did I hear him right? Or maybe it's an actual storm, like the tornado that happened in 2018, things that just shake us to our core. And so those questions could start to form in us, how can we accomplish this mission we're called to if we're faced with storms like this? How can we do it? Are we too weak? Did God ask the wrong person? Did we make a mistake? And so for me, the anxious thoughts one was one of the major storms of my life. Still wrestle with that at times, but especially when my wife and I lived in Williamsport for a couple years, there was just a long time of barely being able to think about anything else but just worrying about everything pretty much coming. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night just not even able to sleep. Just thoughts keep on racing. And all I could do at times was cry out to God and just say, I don't even know what I was able to say, just cry out to, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but help me. I can barely function. And I'll finish that story later, but I can honestly say now, because of Jesus, that I'm thankful for going through that storm for those couple of years, and I'll explain why later, but I can honestly, truthfully stand before you and say I'm thankful for that, all because of Jesus. So the disciples start to ask this question. The disciples went and woke him, meaning Jesus, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. So he got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters, the storm subsided, and all was calm. So it's in the middle of the storm, the disciples are having that question of, we have this great mission for this adventure with Jesus tomorrow, but how can we accomplish it with this storm that's going to sink us? So they go and admit defeat to Jesus. They just cry out to him, say, we're sinking. We can't do it. We threw everything we had at it, and we just can't do it. You must have asked the wrong people. And then the most incredible miracle happens. Like, this is such a short passage, I think we can miss how incredible this is. Jesus just walks up, doesn't say a word, walks on the ship that's rocking and about ready to go under, and just yells out into the storm, commands them to still, to cease, and they listen to him. It stops. Glassy smooth. We go from the raging waters, the squall, the winds, to calm. Because our God commands the atmosphere, and it obeys him. That's the God that we follow. That's the Lord that we serve. That's our King. It's in this moment that the disciples learn the awesome power of Jesus. They get to know him a little bit more. See, Jesus uses every part of the plan, not just the destination. He uses every part of the plan for his glory. He uses it to teach lessons, to teach trust, and he uses it for his glory. He's not only able to call us to follow him into representing his love and goodness to the world around us, he is in command of the atmosphere itself. He created heaven and earth, and Jesus is in command of it. He is Lord over all. And this is huge. One random history fact for the day. So there was at least, I believe, two times in history that huge armadas, and I don't remember what country they came from, but they were sailing for Japan. They wanted to conquer Japan. It looked like a isolated little island that would be a good staging point or maybe good farmland. Whatever it was, they wanted to take it. And so they sailed with way more troops than they needed to be able to overwhelm the defenses in Japan. They set out all the preparation. They knew what they were doing. They were battle-hardened commanders. It wasn't their first trek. And then a storm hit. Wiped out so much of the fleet, they weren't able to even step foot in Japan. But our God commands the wind and the waves, and they still. It's incredible. And again, because it's such a short passage, we can miss the power in it, that Jesus commands the wind and the waves, and they cease. So Jesus asks, where is your faith? In fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So where is our faith? Is our faith like the disciples at the beginning, our faith is in ourselves and our own abilities and our own experience or our own preparations we put into trying to accomplish this mission, this adventure that Jesus has given us for his glory? Is that what we're trusting in? And I'm guilty of that often. I think, well, I can't do this thing. I feel like God's putting it on my heart because I just haven't had the experience, or I'm too young, or too stubborn, or whatever it is. I can't do it. But if we remember who our King is, that he commands the wind and the waves, and they listen to him, we can trust that he can make a way for us to get to that other side of that lake, that he can make a way for us to get where he calls us to. It would be hard. It won't be easy. That storm rocked the disciples past what they were able to do, but that was the point, so that they could trust Jesus and his power to make a way for them to go where he called them to go. And he doesn't always still the storm instantly or as we like it or is to the degree we want, but Jesus is able to speak, and that debilitating sickness that keeps us from being able to go about daily life, let alone go above and beyond, is healed. Jesus can heal it with a word. God gives a word, and the storm of anxiousness in our mind is stilled. And I will say, in that time of struggling in Williamsport, every time I needed to speak, or if there was something I needed to do for him, it was calm for that time. That storm came back later, but it was calm when it needed to be calm to do what he had asked me to do, namely in like leading the youth and things like that. He's faithful in that. And the Lord can command, and the strength and conviction in the truth of Jesus and his life, his death, and his resurrection overcomes those voices of doubt, of people mocking us when we try to share the love of Jesus. Jesus speaks and can give strength and conviction and wisdom in our souls to keep going. And so Jesus asks, is our faith and our trust and our confidence in ourselves, or is it in this one who commands even the winds and the waves? And they obey him. And this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, I'll warn you. But this, it stuck out to me as I was just thinking about Jesus and how he is able to calm the storm. And when I was in Williamsport, I attended Campus Crusaders for Christ every Thursday. It's basically like a youth group, but for college students. And one of our own, Trevor Rout, is working with them currently, doing a great job. And so there was a speaker there one night, and he was from New Tribes Missions. I don't remember his name, unfortunately, but I'll never remember what he shared. He made the case that there's a difference between complaining and grumbling. Now, we can go through it and argue about words, but his point was this. Grumbling was like the Israelites in the desert, where God had brought them out of Egypt, and then they started to get hungry. And they said, oh, has the Lord brought us out of Egypt just to starve in the desert? And then he rains down manna from heaven, gives them food from heaven, a miracle. And they say, man, we want some meat. Like, we're tired of this bread. Like, can't you see, God just gave you bread from heaven, and it wasn't enough for them. So then he sends doves from heaven for them, and they still complained. They still grumbled. It's that not being content, never content with what the Lord provides for your needs for. That's grumbling. And he made the case that the complaining is different. Complaining is when God gives us a piece of his heart, that when we look around the world around us, we see that things aren't as they should be according to God's standards, that we look around and something's not right. People are being mistreated. Things like that are not right. And so that's that complaint. It's like something's not right, and it irks me, it bothers me, because it's not right with God's Spirit. It's not right. It's not the way that God intended things to be. That's that difference between a grumbling and a complaint in that complaint, he made the case is, what if that is God putting something on our heart, motivating us to do something about it, or to seek the God who can command even the wind and the waves to still, and they obey him to change the atmosphere where we are. So often, instead of allowing these complaints to motivate us to action or to prayer, which is the most effective action, we might leave these hard situations we find ourselves in, these things that are bringing up these complaints. We see things just, they aren't the way they should be, so I'm going to go somewhere where things are right. And there's certainly good reasons to leave schools or to leave a town you live in or to leave even a church congregation, things like that. There's certainly good reasons for that. I'm not belittling that at all. But what if God wants to do something right where he's placed you and your circumstances? What if God wants you to trust him to calm the storm and to change the atmosphere where he's placed you in that time? Because sometimes there's reasons we leave. So to finish my story about my time in Williamsport, if I had seen that coming, I would have done everything I could to steer the ship away from that time of that storm of 2 years of just barely being able to function, let alone grow in my faith and to share my faith with others. But God brought me through that storm for a reason. And one night when I was crying out to him, I was asking that question, God, why did you call me into this storm? Why did you call me into this time? And I felt him saying, it brought me to tears and it stopped me. I felt him saying that you've been crying out to me these past several months. And I said, yeah, that's kind of the point. Why am I going through this storm? I'm having to cry out to you. And he said, would you have spoken to me half as much if you hadn't been through this storm? And it hit me. No, the answer was no. If I wouldn't have needed him that desperately, I wouldn't have drawn as close to him. I wouldn't have learned that our God is able to speak to the storm, to the wind and the waves even, and they obey him. So I can honestly stand before you and say that I am thankful for having gone through that storm because the Lord worked in my heart and he showed me more about who he is and more about how great he is and his ability to calm the storm and any storm that we face to lead us where he wants us to be. So what if God is giving us these complaints of seeing things around us that aren't right to motivate us to seek him in prayer to change even the atmosphere itself for his glory, to stand in the gap, to pray to the Father and ask our God who commands the wind and the waves to change the atmosphere right where we find ourselves? Or are we running to the next best thing when we should be standing and waiting on the Lord and trusting? And it can be sticky as we, if we do things based off of our preferences. And I just like vanilla ice cream instead of chocolate, and they always serve chocolate ice cream at these Bible studies, so I'm going to leave it. We need to seek the Lord to sort out those preferences and what are things that the Lord wants to change to be different. So we trust him in that. So this... As I thought about staying rather than moving on to see the Lord change the atmosphere, brought up one of my favorite quotes, and Brendan's not here today, but I could quote it for you, but I'll just show the video because it's a little more effective that way. And again, you'll have to thank my wife that I'm not wearing my kilt today because I was very tempted to do that. But this is one of my favorite stories. It's about, I believe, from the 1600s in Scotland when the Scottish people were being just greatly oppressed by the British. They were just, yeah, there were some pretty unspeakable things being done to them, they were being oppressed. And they had enough. And they were untrained, they were farmers, they were shepherds, they were whatever they were. But they came together, they formed this army that we'll see in this video, to stand against England, against that oppression. But then the army came, the British army that was strong, battle-hardened, efficient, very well equipped, and they started to have second thoughts. When that came stood around the field, they were like, this might cost us our lives for this, and they're not sure if they were willing to stand. And so this guy who this movie Braveheart's about is William Wallace, and he, in this speech, unites the people, reminds them why they're there to stay and to fight.
I am William Wallace. and I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
All right. So, sorry, this gets me excited every time I hear it. But this is, what if we trusted in Jesus, the Lord who commands the wind and the waves and they obey him, enough to stand and to trust to see him change the atmosphere where he's called us? What if instead of just running somewhere else because it's more comfortable, rather than running from lukewarm situation to lukewarm situation because it's easier, because then we don't have to go through the storms, what if we're willing to pay the cost to follow Jesus into those storms? What if we're willing to stand, to fight, to see the change that Jesus wants to bring in the situations that he's brought us to? Because Jesus wants to heal the brokenness in all the world. Jesus came to redeem the world, to bring people to himself for eternity, and that includes where you're at right now. And so what if we're willing to stand to see Jesus change the atmosphere right where he's called us? What could our job or our school or our family or our church congregation or our community look like if we stayed where our feet are and sought God to bring the change he wants for his people? It's a lot harder than running. Like he says in this, run and you might live for a while. Run and you might be comfortable for a while, and then something else will come up and you'll be uncomfortable and you'll move again. But would you trade all those comfortable moments for one chance to go back, to endure through a storm, to see Jesus change the storm, change the atmosphere for his glory where he called you, to see hearts change, to see people redeemed just like you were redeemed, just like we were redeemed, to see that happen where we had been in that past? So we don't want these regrets. Let's seek Jesus to change the atmosphere where he's called us. And they might cost us everything, but is it worth it? Is it worth it? So you have a yellow bulletin insert today. And as I was praying about this, and sorry, Jamie was great, printed these out Friday, but I felt like I worded them wrong. Just felt like today the Lord's kind of speaking as to, it's really not at the heart of what he wants. But your bulletins say this: what is something in my home, job, school, church, or community that God could use me to help change for his glory and to better minister to Jesus? It's more what's something where I'm at right now in any one of these situations that God wants me to trust him to change the atmosphere for his glory. So we're going to take a few minutes just to pray through this question. Like, Lord, some things are hard. There's some storms I'm going through. What's something you want me to stand in to watch you change for your glory, so that you receive all the glory, so that hearts are changed and your kingdom comes? I just want you to pray through this question to the Lord. Cry out to him. What's something you want to change the atmosphere in my life? And then, on the back, there's after a week. So I want you guys to take these, to write on them, or you can write in your phone, whatever it is. And for a week, I want you to pray through those, because like we said, it's very hard to sort through our preferences and what the Lord wants to change. So I challenge you to pray through this for a week, what you feel the Lord speaking to you today, pray over a week, and then stand and fight. Stand to see the Lord change the atmosphere right where he's placed you. So as the Lord speaks to us, are we willing to trust Jesus enough to follow him into a storm? To follow him into the storm he's calling us to, to see him change the atmosphere for his glory. Because he is able to command with a word, and the storms are ceased, the storm calms, and the waves are still. And we can go to where he calls us to.